Hi everybody, it's good that you've taken this extra time out to do this, thank you. I know that it can be a bit daunting when you're doing the meatier worksheets. So I thought that if we do this one together, it'll get you all over a little bit of a hurdle and you'll perhaps get the smaller ones done with a bit more confidence, because it is a bit difficult when you're being places you haven't been before. And, okay. Let's get started. The first thing, what this worksheet involves is playing around in the administrative tools. And it says you're going to learn to use the built-in utilities to gather information about the system and to troubleshoot system resources. And you'll also learn how to export and import registry settings. It does not sound as daunting as it is not as daunting as it sounds, believe me. Okay, so let's start by doing step one, is playing around in the command line. You've all been there before, so let's start by opening a command prompt. Tell me when you're all there. Terry? Yeah, Terry Mac, you there?
I'm using Windows 7, and it's on a computer across the room, so I'm scooting back and forth, but I'm here.
Cool, all right. Now, you need to write down your drive path. That's the first question it asks. What is the drive path shown? And your answers will vary, of course. So you need to write down what your drive path is.
So to open the command prompt, I have to go to run first, right?
You do, yes, and then type CMD. Sorry, I thought we'd done this actually before. We'd gone into the command prompts before. We talked about it anyway. So if you all have the command prompt open, and it will say a drive, it'll give a drive path like C:\, whatever, whatever, whatever. You need to write that down as the answer to your first question in this worksheet. You there now? Cool.
Okay, yeah, I went to there, yeah.
Yeah, you need to write down your drive path. So for JAWS users, and I know you're not your JAWS user, John, so I don't know whether you can do this, but for JAWS users, you can virtualize the window and get a copy of your drive path into that text file that you've got open for yourselves. And to do that, it's insert alt W if you're using a late version of JAWS later than 10, I believe. E, will that be right? It's later than version 10, isn't it? And John, if you can virtualize your window with window eyes, then you do it the way you would do it. You need to write down the drive path. It'll be the thing. What's ever before the greater than sign will be your drive path.
It just says C users dad.
That's your drive path.
Sorry, Kylie, what's the virtualize thingy again?
Insert Alt W, and you have to do it that way. So hold down the Insert key first, then Alt, and then W. And then you can mess around in the virtual window any time you like, and when you've finished copying or whatever, close the window with Escape. How are you doing, Kate?
Yeah, that's good, and that's happening for me.
Cool. And you're with us, Terry, over Terry J, I guess? Waiting for
yes.
Us.
All good.
Cool. Now, have we all got our drive path written down?
Yep.
Yep.
John, are you able to write your the drive path down by some automatic way, or do you have to copy it by hand?
I just copied it by hand.
Okay, that's cool. Now, the next thing I want you all to do is type the word help and press enter. And there should be a lot of stuff that you have to read. It'll tell you what all the commands are. It should do. Once you've read that, the next question is, what is the command to change directory? And you write that down in your text file. What is the command to change directory?
Okay, I have in focus C, my path, then help, and then I want to put the change directory after that?
No, you type the word help and press enter, and then you should get a whole heap of text up there that you read through.
I did get that.
Okay, so in that help screen, it should be the answer you're looking for, so you might need to have a look at the screen. What is the path to change directory? What is the command to change directory? Some of you will know this from having messed around in DOS anyway, but some of you won't. So you'll need to look at the help information that you were given and get the answer from that and write the answer down into your text file.
I'll just think of the initials.
Yes, exactly. Think of the initials.
Change
is actually the
directory. Directory. Two letters is what you need. And yep. I'll go and I won't spoil it for you.
Okay, then it wants to know what's the command to display the contents of a directory. Now that should be in your help screen.
I jump in here? I think what's happening, JAWS is reading it out. If you listen to it, it reads out a whole list of commands. But if you virtualize the window, it only seems to be showing the last few commands on that list.
There's a lot of text in there, yes.
Yeah, so okay. What you need to do is, if you ever want to do that, guys, you can do it for yourself, but there's the link there in the chat. I'll stuck it in Dropbox for you, is that you would go help greater than, which redirects the output from the screen to a file name. So you go help space greater than, and then give it a file name. And I just called it help.txt, and it just pipes the output from the screen into a file. So you can obviously call the file anything you want. And you can do it with any command too. You can go CD, we can go DIR space vertical bar space file name, and pipe the output of the DIR command into a text file. And then you can look at it later on in a text editor where you've got a cursor, you can go up and down. So that's how I did it.
Okay. So what they want is to, I'm not quite sure the dot, dot, dot means, it's only an ellipsis anyway. So it just says type.
The dot, dot, dot is the parent, the dot, where's the dot, dot, dot showing up?
Type CD dot, dot, dot and press enter.
No, just CD dot, dot, only
CD dot, dot should be changed, go back one directory is what CD dot, dot does.
Goes up a level, yeah.
Do that, type your path name, and then change back to your original drive again. How are we all going?
Okay, you said to type change directory and hit
type
enter,
CD,
or just leave it alone.
CD space dot dot, then press enter. Write down what the new path name is, and then change it back to your original using CD.
Kylie, when I type change directory without the dot dot, it just put me at the C colon, not users.
That doesn't matter. It doesn't actually matter. It's just an exercise to see if you can change your directory. So the answers will vary anyway. As long as you change back to your original path name that you've already written down, which in your case is C users dad, I think you put, wasn't it? So as long as what you do after that,
okay,
is you go to your path name and you change it back. So once you've done that, give me a yell. How are you going, Kate? Are you following okay?
Okay, so I got back to my original directory now.
Fantastic. Okay, and it asks you to type what path you're back in again, which is really stupid because you've already done it once, so let's not bother with that. It's just superfluous. Now, the next thing I want you to do is there's another lot of text you'll need to listen to. It says to do DIR space slash question mark and then press enter. What that'll do is it'll bring up all of the switches for the DIR command, which is all the switches for the directory contents command. And you'll be listening in particular for the one that says directory wide list, because that's the next question. It wants to know which switch is for the directory wide list. So slash question mark is a help switch. So type DIR space slash question mark and listen to the text carefully, and then write down which is the switch for wide list. You might be asked to press any key to continue, and do that if it asks you.
Mind
that.
Okay, I've come to same as wide, but files are sorted by column. That's not the one you want, though.
Yes, we're same as wide, but files are sorted by column. No, but actually, DOS is really intuitive, so it's a good guess as to what the directory switch is, even if you don't know DOS, because it's just the initial. So type the switch that displays a wide list format, and the switches always begin with a slash, so it'll be slash and a letter. Initial letter. How are we all doing?
I got a problem. I set my control key to do my left control for Ventrilo, but every time I press the right one now, it's making the noise as well. So,
oh, I found it! Hooray!
You got it! Good on you, Kate. How are you doing, Terry J?
John, it's in the second screen.
Yep. Okay, so after you've done the wide list thing, how are you doing there, Terry Mac? Are you with us?
Well, I think I'm a bit ahead of you.
You probably are. Okay, that's all right. What I want everyone else to do is type DIR space and then enter. And then I want you to type DIR/W and press enter. DIR/W and press enter. And then I want you to tell me the difference between the two commands. Basically, what happens to the text when you do that. So firstly, type DIR/ and then enter and listen. And then type DIR/W and press enter and listen again and write down what happens to the text.
Oh, there's a ton of stuff. Yes, there is.
Okay, so listen to the order in which you hear it, because you're going to type DIR/W and then press enter in a minute and you'll hear the same things, but there will be a change. And so then I want you to write down what the difference is. How are you doing there, Kate?
I think I found it.
Good on you. So when you type the /W switch, what happens to your output?
Well, according to how I'm reading it, it comes out in two columns instead of it in a single column.
Yep, because it's presenting it in a different way. It's presenting the same information, but in a different way on the screen. For you. Exactly, yeah.
So I'm at C colon, I just type DIR/W.
I figured it out, John. We have to type a space after the command. So it's DIR/W. That was what I was doing wrong as well.
Yeah, I did say space. Sorry.
Oh, I know you did, but I'm deaf as well as blind sometimes.
No, that's okay. It's easy when you're doing sort of new things to get a bit. But you're doing well. We've nearly finished this exercise. There's only one more thing to do after that, and we can close the command window. Okay, the last thing I want you to do is type VOL and press enter and then write down what volume is drive C in? That's the question they ask. What volume is drive C in? And after you've answered that question, you can close the command window and we have finished that step.
Volume and drive C is OS.
Yeah, answers will vary.
Is it possible that it could say volume in drive C has no label?
Yes, it could say yes. That.
Yep.
That's what mine said.
Oh, thank goodness for that. I was thinking I wasn't looking properly.
No, drives don't have to be labelled. Sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. They're not labelled by default. So that's fine, Kate. You're doing well. And we've finished that exercise.
Okay, so should you be able to close this just by doing Alt+F4 or do you have to do a quit?
Type the word exit and press enter. So it's like you're in an old DOS window, so you have to tell it everything in text rather than on the keyboard.
Oh, yeah, so if I could just remember my old DOS days, and now it's starting to make sense now.
Okay, we're all out. Okay, and the instructions, it says open system information by clicking start, run, type MS Info 32, but if some of you have got 64-bit systems, I'm not quite sure how you would do that. So
you still type MS 32.
MS Info 32? Okay, so
yeah,
do that,
I tried
folks.
64 and it didn't work. So
okay, so folks, open another run box, as if you're running a command line or whatever, and type the word MS Info 32. It's all one word. Press the enter key.
So we went to a run prompt, then we typed in MS Info. Is that correct?
32, yes.
Okay. Tree view information. Depth 1.
Excellent. Okay. It says click the plus sign next to hardware resources. What that means is find hardware resources in the tree view and press the right arrow, and then you want components and software environment. Expand the window so you can, it says expand the window so you can see all the contents. You might need to maximize the window once you've opened that. So what you're looking for is hardware resources and then components and software environment. Tell me when you're all there.
Under hardware resources, there is a thing called components list.
Okay, go in there, and then software environment. They've only got a comma between these two, so they really should be being a bit more specific. So go into the components list, and then under that, go to software environment.
Software environment, you go back to the level where your hardware was. There's hardware, then components, and then software environment is the third thing in that original list.
Yeah, they haven't stated this properly at all, I'm afraid. So, Yeah.
That's okay, John, and I'll figure it out. Now, what were we looking for in?
You might need to maximize your window because you need to go under the system summary heading and you need to locate and list the following things. So find the system summary and tell me when you're there because you'll need to know, you'll need to write down several things that are under that list and they'll vary according to your particular machine.
Can I give people a tip just to make it easier?
Yeah, go for it, Terry.
When you get into the window where all your information is, just do a select all, like Control A, copy the information to the clipboard, take it out into a WordPad document and delete the information you don't want because it's far easier than trying to remember all the ins and outs and then write them in another document.
Okay, I'm in the software environment. It was the third one down. You're right, Kate.
Okay, now under the system summary heading, John, and everyone else, I need to know the following things. Your processor, your BIOS with the version and date, and your total physical memory.
Kylie?
Yes, Terry.
I'm a couple of questions in front, but when it says about the DMA channels and the device, mine just says channel 4 and direct memory access controller. It doesn't actually give me a device.
Yeah, I'm on that one too.
Okay, so just write down whatever it says there, because answers may vary, so they're not looking for a particular answer here. They just want to know that you know where to find these things. Now it says DMA channels and the device using the resources. Now it should tell you that.
Well, just under this says channel 4, and then under device it says direct memory access controller, and status is okay.
Okay, Terry, would you run through that one more time, please?
No problem. So are you in the window where it lists your processor and all that stuff, you know, where you go up and down arrow and each piece of information is on a new line?
Okay, we need a list of the following. Hang on, I'm a little bit here because we've got people in different places now. Okay. Under the system summary heading, locate and list the following. Processor, that will be the name of the processor, your BIOS, the version and date of the BIOS, and your total physical memory. So we need four things from the system summary heading. And as Terry said, once you've got into the up and down arrows where all that information is, you can just Control A, Control C, and shove it in a text file and delete the lines that you don't need. And that's a bit of work, but it might be a bit easier to read that way.
What I'm discovering is, as I arrow up and down the list of this, and this is probably what's happening to John because we seem to both have the same problem, what happens when you up and down arrow in this list under here, it keeps on locking up and not responding.
Now yours is a wee bit different to mine because it just says system summary, and I just pressed the tab key there and got into the list, where I could then do what I was saying before.
Yeah, you need to find system summary. That should be under the software environment heading. It might be still in the tree view. So if you open the tree view side and look under there and see if there's a system summary under there.
Can I also say to John something I just discovered? When I opened that window and tabbed around, I found that there was a search box automatically open. If you close that, that seems to help.
But my thingy isn't under software environment, it's just in the tree view, my system summary. It's not in the software environment. Maybe that's the confusion.
Yeah, it says so under software environment, but you need to find the system summary heading. So it may be directly under the components or the hardware resources itself. But you need to find someone that says system summary, and then tab across to the list view, and it'll have all that stuff there.
I can see what's happened. I just found it.
I think Kate and I are drinking the same juice. I just found mine too.
Cool, okay.
See, when you said you had to open system resources, it was actually already open and all this other stuff was already underneath it.
We need four things, sorry. It's a bit hard to know which instructions to give sometimes. It's a bit vague. But we need your processor, your BIOS, version and date, and total physical memory. So if you do what Terry Mack suggested, and go Control A, Control C, and dump that into a file somewhere, and just say, delete what you don't want, that'll be easy. Yeah, so get those four things. We want processor, BIOS, version slash date, and total physical memory.
I got the CPU and the BIOS, and what was next?
The version and date of your BIOS and your total physical memory. Right. Now, you've got those resources. Now, it says under the hardware resources heading, locate and list the following. So you need to find, you're looking at DMA channels and the device using the resources, and your I.O. address, and it's a range you want of those. And you want printer port, so you're looking under hardware resources to find all those sorts of things. And of course, I.O. addressing and DMA, remember those from Chapter 1, we talked about what they are and what they do. And this is where in the system you find about what they are and what they're doing in your particular system. And they're under the, it says they're under the hardware resources heading.
Okay, I'm at hardware resources. There's three. Conflict share. DMA. Forced hardware. Oh, there's six. IO. IRQ. And memory.
Okay, so we go into your DMA and you need to find out what the channels are and the devices that are the resources that are using them. That's the first thing you need to do.
Okay, I got that. And then what was next?
We need to know your I.O. address, and it's a range of these. So go back into your hardware resources and find your I.O. addressing and write down the range for these devices.
Wow, there's 58 items here.
Hey, Kylie, in not the IRQ, the other one, the one before it.
IO addressing,
only,
yep.
Yeah, it's only showing one thing. It doesn't, like, I took the worksheet to mean it wants the address for each of those LPT1, COM1 and COM2, but it's only actually showing one piece of information in that list.
Well, then that's all you've got in your machine. So that's okay, just put what's there. Yeah, so it wants to know the range, John, for, let me see. And you won't have everything.
I can just put one in there, and I can go back and put the other 57 in there later. If that's what we need.
You won't need all 57. What it wants is to know the I.O. range for your printer port, your communications port, COM1, and communications port, COM2. And that's it for now. And then it's going to ask you to find the IRQ addresses for something else. So just find three of those. That's all you need. So it just needs communication ports and printer port and the I.O. ranges of addresses for those things. Okay, have you got the information for your printer port and communications ports, John?
Am I looking for that in this list of 58 items?
Yes. If you're under your I.O.,
the short answer is I'm down to 19 and I've got a few more to go, but I know where to go back to get them.
I wonder if you can do the same as you did before, you know, the Control A, Control C thing. and just dump it into a file and find them later on. That might be easier.
Yeah, it did.
Cool. Okay. Now, it wants you to find the IRQ addressing for the following devices: System Timer, COM port 1, and COM port 2. So go back and remember when you found
well,
IRQ.
I've got 129 items in here.
That'll teach you having a grunty machine.
Yeah, there's a lot of things in here. If it's okay with you, I'm going to Control A and paste this over there too.
Yeah, go for it. And then we can move on to looking under the components, under the components heading and software heading. And you can look around to see what information is provided in the areas. And then after you've had a bit of a look around the system info, then you can close the window.
Wow, there's a lot of good information there, but there's a ton of it.
Yeah, there sure is. But you know, if you need information like that, it's MSInfo 32. That's where you go to get it all. So it really, this exercise, all it's doing is getting you used to getting around in this window and getting information that you might need for things. That's really all it's doing. So have we closed the MSInfo window? We're going to go to MSConfig next, and I think most of us have done that. Been there before, haven't we?
So do I go back up or just type exit here?
No, just close the window.
Okay.
What you might want to do in the look around bit in the worksheet is just say to me what kind of information you can see in that window. Just give me a little bit of a tour. That's really all it's asking to do. Okay. Step 3 is open system configuration by doing a run again. And this time you're going to put msconfig and press enter. I'm sure you've all been in here before.
Yeah, but when I have focus on that, I don't have... it takes my talk key away for some reason.
Okay, that's okay. All we're doing here is having a look around. Okay, you need to be in the General tab, and it asks you what the startup options are. Actually, that's in the note. That's in the notes. There are 3 startup options. So it asks you to write down what those startup options that you have under the General tab are. So what you've got here is a multi-page dialog box, and you move around it in the same way as you would any other multiple dialog. So you just can tab around and see what there is. Tell me when you've finished in the General tab, everybody. Cool. Okay, Terry, you're done?
Yep.
Okay. Right. We want to go past the boot tabs, and that's tab is for modifying the boot options. The next tab you want to be in is the service tab. So you could press Control tab to get there if you want to, or go around an arrow, right arrow till you get to the service tab. And it says, I'll read the instructions as it says. It says, click the service tab. This tab lists the computer services and their status. You can enable and disable services at this. Can you enable and disable services at this tab? So have a look in the service tab and see what you can do in there and answer whether you can enable or disable services here.
There's 150 items in this list view, and it looks as though I can check and uncheck.
Cool. Okay. The next tab you need to approach is the startup tab, and that's got all the programs that are automatically loaded when you turn on your computer, of course. Then we've got Tools tab, and it's asking you what can you do in the Tools tab.
Kylie, I went back to the Startup tab, and was I supposed to go in there or not?
No, you might want to have a look in there to see what programs that you've got loaded to start up automatically when you turn on your computer, just for your own interest, because that's partly what you're doing is you're looking around MSConfig and seeing what's in here. But after you've done that, go into the Tools tab and then answer what can you do in the Tools tab. Have a look in the Tools tab and see what you can do in there, and write that down.
I got 18 items in this list view, and I can do a lot.
Cool. Okay. You don't need to tell me now, but write that down. Some of the things you can do in there. And once you finish that, you can click cancel, and that will close the MSConfig window. How are you doing, Terry?
Do you want all 18 things listed?
No, just give me an overview, goodness me.
Well, I've exited now, so I'm with you.
Cool, John, let me know when you're done and we'll get on to DirectX. That's very funny.
I don't seem to be able, for some reason, to copy out, be able to copy, so I'll close that.
Yeah, that's fine. As long as I have an overview of some of the stuff you can do in there, that's cool. You don't need to list absolutely everything. You'll be here for ages if you do that. So the next thing is we're going to go into DirectX. Now, this will be fun because this is where all your multimedia stuff is.
Okay, I'm back. I'm out of that completely.
Okay, so as you can see, MS Config was a multi-page dialog box. It was easier, you know, to get around than some of them. And you can do all kinds of things in there. And there are notes in Chapter 5 that will tell you a bit more about MS Config. Okay, step 4 is open DirectX. Now, open a run box again and type the following. DXDIAG and press the Enter key.
DXDIAG.
DIAG. Press Enter. Yep. It might take a minute to load.
It came up and it said, "Do I want to check if my drivers are digitally signed?"
Say no. Now, it says it may not appear as, your tool may not appear as shown in this lab, so we'll try to be as generic as we can here. Tell me when you're there. You have to make sure the system tab is active, and you need to tell me what does the system tool report.
Well, the first thing it reports, I can't read it with my cursor keys, but I can read it with my mouse. System display sound input.
They are the pages, because what this is it's set up a bit like a sort of pseudo wizard, and you click next to go round and round and round the pages. You can actually try that if you like. Have a bit of a look around in the system and see exactly what's there. But you need to.
Oh, I see. System tab. I got it. 104.
How are you doing there, Terry?
Yeah, I'm looking round.
So it's system 104 display sound.
Yeah, you need to go into the system tab and write down what it reports to you. It should give you a heap of information about the time and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it did when I first started, but now I'm gone back into the system tab and I'm just tabbing round, but I can't get into that edit, that read it. Reading stuff, and it's just got a checkbox, WHQL something, check for WHQL
okay.
Something.
Will it do that with it? Can you read it with the mouse cursor?
The only thing I have here, Kylie, is run 64-bit DXDIAG button, and then right below that is next. That's all it shows on this screen.
But now, let's go to the display tab and find out what's on that page. So you click next until you get to display.
You said you want display, right?
Yes, and it wants to know what information is listed on that page.
Kylie, you're right. It must be there, and the screen reader's not picking it up because all it says is exactly the same thing. Run 64-bit. DIAG button. DXDIAG.
Hey John, can you use your WEyes cursor or whatever your equivalent of your? I used to use Weyes, so I can't remember. And have a look around your screen. Kylie and Jaws insert B works to read the whole screen.
Yeah, well, okay, so it's a funny one, this one. It's not a true whole multi-page dialogue or anything. It's just, it's sort of a combination between a wizard and a dialogue, and it's kind of strange, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay, it does say drivers, group box, ATI radiant. Yeah, manufacturer, ATI. Does that sound close, Kylie?
It does, because you're in the display tab, so what's that telling you?
That tells me I'm where I can bugger up my monitor, or my video card.
Yep, okay, it's telling you about your display drivers. Okay, go to the sound page and list everything that's on that page also. It doesn't get you to press the buttons like it does in the XP version, actually, which is a bit of a shame because it's quite fun.
Yeah, same thing here. Thank you for that tip, Terry. I see where, you know, it's the Sound Blaster, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's what I meant by your mouse cursor before, John, sorry. Your mouse cursor is the way you review the screen with Jaws calls it your Jaws cursor. I guess Window Eyes calls it your Window Eyes cursor, but that's what I was meaning, your mouse cursor, your review cursor. Okay, go to the input tab and do the same there.
Yeah, you're both right. But Window Eyes has a separate WE cursor that you use the same number pad as you would the mouse. Okay, I got that. The keyboard, mouse, USBs.
Cool, and that's all you need to do. Just go over to Exit and go out of DirectX. Now, here's where we come and try and play with the desktop settings. It's going to be interesting to see what we can and can't do on Windows 7. And because I don't use Windows 7 myself, it's going to be even more interesting. Okay, now then, once you're out, the instructions say to do the following. Open the Choose a Desktop Background page in Personalize Appearance and Sounds by right-clicking the Desktop Personalize Desktop Background. Now, it may be a little bit different in Windows 7, so it might even do to put Personalize Desktop or something in your search box and see what you come up with.
Yeah, for me, that brought up a list of four things, like change desktop backgrounds and some libraries thing and top-rated photos, and I can't remember the other thing. And you can tab across and browse.
Okay, you need change desktop background. And it asks you what your picture is. Now, when you set your machine up, you'll know anyway whether you've got a picture on your background desktop or not. It just wants you to write down whether you've got a picture there or not.
I typed desktop in the search bar and just down arrowed from there, and there was about seven options, and I'm sitting on what you just asked for.
Okay, go in there. Now, you may not need to, well, you need to go in there anyway, but if you know what picture is on your desktop, just write it down. If you don't have one, of course, you'll need to write down that you don't have one. I don't have one on mine. But it wants you to click the location drop down and select solid colours. So you need to find the colours under, once you're in your background, you're going to start playing with your background colours now a little bit. So whatever you need to do in Windows 7, once you're in the change background, you need to find solid colours.
Solid colours, 4 of 5.
Okay, it says select a blue color and click OK.
I went there, I tabbed, and I got a list view of 33 items, but it doesn't say anything when I down arrow. This is 1 of 33, 2 of 33.
I'm not sure. See, this is difficult depending on which flavor of Windows you're using. In XP, it would do this for me. Now, the other way you can change the background, I think if you tab, there should be a customize button somewhere around the place. Is there?
Uh, Kate must be thinking about us because I just locked it up again.
Oh, okay. Well, there's going to be a custom or advanced or something button in there somewhere where you can actually change the RGB value manually. And I found with JAWS that was the only way that I could change the colors in this exercise.
I'll be back in 3 ticks and a shake.
Alrighty.
You're still there, I'm back.
Yep, here. John's had to reboot again, the system locked up. We're nearly through. This whole section, the next sort of 4 steps, is the last bit of the worksheet now. What we're going to do, I'll wait till John comes back.
I haven't been able to write anything down because we've been whizzing through a bit fast, so I'll have to go back and do it.
That's okay, but as long as you're more sort of familiarised now with what we're... Oh, fantastic. Okay. What we're basically doing is going to change the background colour of the screen and save a registry setting. So, now, I don't think JAWS will read the colours very well from that combo box either. So what I had to do in XP, and I don't know whether you can do it in 7, is there's a custom or advanced button somewhere, and you go, or a customize button, and you can change the colour values manually because they're red, green, blue values between 0 and 255. So if you go into, find a custom button somewhere, then you can change the colour values manually. I hope.
I've got a thing that says picture location solid colours. Is that it?
Sounds like it could be it. If you go in there, there might be a customise button. Because I don't think JAWS will let you read the actual colours that are there. So if you can find a customise button once you're in there, then you'll be able to change the values manually.
Yeah, it's got these edit boxes and you can type numbers in there, but it doesn't tell you that what you can go up to. It's got sat, which I presume is saturation, and then it starts like blue, red, whatever, and each of those has got an edit box that you can type a value in.
Fantastic. Are you there, John? Is that where you're at? Okay, it looks like you're the only one here, Terry. So what in the edit boxes, you want to change to a blue background. So
I think it's on. Okay, so I just go into blue and type a value in that box, do I?
Yes, and you want to zero the other two boxes, which are green and red. And the blue can be anywhere between 0 and 255. Take a note of what the values were to start off with, because you'll need to change it back when you're finished. Or select a background for yourself, or no background, which is what I've got. Welcome back, John. What we've done, what Terry's done here, is she's found a button where you can get in and manually change the red, green, blue values. That's the only way you can do this worksheet as a blind person, because you can't pick from the colour combo box.
If she found it, then I'll find it from the MP3 file.
Was it a custom button that you...
No, what I did was I went into the search box in the start menu and I typed desktop and then down arrow like you did before. And then there was something there about change desktop background, and I went in there, and then once I got into that, there was a list of 4 things, and the 4th one in the list was solid colours or something like that. And so I went into there, and then there's a more button. You tab around until you find a more button. Go in there, and once you get into that more button, there's the it's got whatever your current settings are, and it's got sat, which is saturation, lum, which I think is luminosity, and then it lists red, green, and blue, and each of those has an edit box. Mine had 0 in it, but yours may have other numbers in it, and you can type, what is it, from 0 to 255 in those colour boxes. Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay, so we're wanting a blue background.
Okay,
so
I see it. I see it. I'm there. I see the link more.
Cool. Static okay, dial. John.
Yeah.
Change your screen to a blue background. And change to a blue background and tell me when you've done that.
Terry, you said to go to I hit the more link and then I'm in a whole bunch of things now.
Yeah, there's a edit field, and then if you tab, it's sat and lum, which is saturation and luminosity, and then you keep tabbing, and it's got, well, mine, I'm in Windows 7, and it's got an edit box for the red, and mine had 0 in it, so then I tabbed again, and I think it had green with an edit box and a 0, and it had blue. So in the blue box, I just typed 255.
And what you'll end up with is a horrible, really bright blue background when you finish.
There's not really an edit box here. Just like you said, red whatever, then I end up at blue, and then right behind blue, it says 153.
Well, then your blue is set to 153, probably.
Yeah, take a note of whatever your red, green, and blue numbers are, because you'll need to change them back when you finish, John. So take a note of whatever those numbers are and set your blue to a blue background. And to do that, you just increase the blue number as far as you like, up to 255, and decrease the red and green numbers, and you'll get a blue background.
Okay.
Yeah, as I said, we have to do this manually.
Because red is 255.
You've got a red background.
Well, that's default is 255 on red, 247 on green, and 155 on blue.
Okay, do what Terry does. Did zero your red and green and give yourself a horrible blue background just for now. Because the next thing we're going to do is go into registry and look at where that file is located, and it will reflect the change you've made.
Okay. Now, it says add to custom colors, A button. Static
so.
Box. Okay. Okay, so now that I'm a blue man, do I go out of here?
Yes. Tell me when you're back on your desktop, because we're going to open another run box.
I'm at the desktop.
Okay. Now, go open a run box and type REGEDIT, regedit, and press the Enter key, and don't do anything else once you're in there, because once we're in registry, we're going to have to be really careful what we do. So I'll read the instructions as they are given, and we'll go through this step by step.
You said type REGIT?
REGEDIT, regedit, and press Enter.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're both there?
When I go in there, I lose speech again.
Oh, boy. Yep, I'm there.
Oh, okay, that shouldn't happen. You should be on a tree view. John, you might want to
not play
and go out of there and just listen to what we're doing.
So how does he get out of there? Just hit Alt F4, Kylie, or what does he do? Because he's probably in the tree view now.
Yes, I'll just check what it says here.
No, it dumped me back. When I hit Escape, it put me back in the run box.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Right. Okay. What you want is the current user key, Terry. So you need to find that, HKEY current user. And once you're in there, you need to search, use the search feature and find background. with use the keyword background. You're looking for the desktop background registry file. It'll have a value attached to it when you find it, and you'll need to know what that value is.
Well, I opened up that tree view, but of course there's no search box in there, so I just hit Control F and looked for the word background, and it said Reg SC00255, which I changed my, I think that's what it said, but it definitely said 255 on the end, which is what I changed my blue colour to.
Exactly, it's reflected the changes. So it wants to know in which folder that is located in and what the data value is. That's all the questions you need to note for what this one. Again, don't write things down because you'll probably want to go back and do this at some point, but you'll know what to do. Okay, but what it's done is reflected the change you made. Okay, we will now export this file. Okay, in the left panel, it says, which will be the tree view, I guess, in the colours folder, because that's where the background colours should be located. Is that the folder it's located in?
Yeah, well, when I pressed up arrow or whatever, it did.
So
say
it'll be
colours.
Shift tab, yeah, I guess. Tab, I guess. Yeah. So if you shift tab and go File and then Export and save the file to the desktop, call it blue. Yeah, blue BKG, call it. It'll be a .reg file. So go into the tree view part, click File and then Export, and save the file to your desktop. Give it a name that you recognise.
So it's blue BKG.reg, did you say?
It'll be a .reg file anyway, because it's a registry file. So you save that to your desktop so that you know where to find it quickly.
Windows 7 is a naughty word for trying to so I've saved it in documents, so I hope I can find it again, because I couldn't navigate up the list easily, so too bad.
That's okay. Now you need to go and open that file. It should open in Notepad, and the change in there, the data value should be reflected again. You should see the same data value, of course, that was reflected actually in the registry. Have you still got the registry window open? So open up the file you saved. It should open up into Notepad. If you might need to click Edit to do that, but it should read as a Notepad file with data values in it.
Well, it would if I could find it, but I can't. I hate the navigation of Explorer in Windows 7, and I can't find it.
That's okay. I don't know why they're doing this anyway, because you know that's going to reflect the change you made. So let's do the next bit. Okay, what we're going to do is change the background colour to red now. So if you go back into the backgrounds in your desktop, back into your solid colours and into the More link, and change your RGB values to red instead of blue, go and do that next.
Look, this is just pointless. We know how to do it.
Yeah, but what's going to happen is once you do that, you're going to go and look back in the registry window and refresh it and see that the change to red is reflected by that registry key. That's what the point is. And then we're going to import the old blue setting to change it back again.
Okay, so I've got to go back into that colour, solid colour place, wherever I was, and change the colour, the red, change it to red.
Yeah, that's what you need to do.
I'm just
the next thing you need to do.
Mentally tired now, you know what I mean?
We're nearly finished. This is actually the last exercise. Once you've imported the setting, we've finished the worksheet, so we're nearly there.
I'm following along, playing the mental basketball.
That's cool. So, do you see what we're trying to do here? What we've done is we've changed the background of the screen. We've seen how it's reflected inside the registry. We've exported that setting to the desktop. And so then we change the colour of the background again, see how it's reflected in the registry, and then we change it back to blue by, instead of going back into the desktop, we can import the registry setting that we've already saved.
Now, I've got a wee problem here because I've gone to the search box and typed in desktop and gone down to change desktop background, but I'm not getting those same four options that I got before. I've just got about 33 different things, and Jaws is reading all sorts of weird stuff out, so I'm not really sure what's going on here.
How about if you shift tab, Terry? Twice. Shift tab twice.
Good one, John. Excellent. That fixed it.
That's the value of collaboration.
I was in the list of colours, and of course it wouldn't read them out because Jaws doesn't. Good. Thank you, John. That fixed it. I've changed my red to 245 and my blue and green both now to 0 and pressed OK. Do I have to press the Save Changes button? Because that'll take me back out of there again, and it'd be helpful if I could leave that open.
Okay, so you won't need to go there until the very end when you reset it back to what it was originally. Okay, so what I want you to do is go back to the registry window that you'll have open, press F5, and note the data value of that background key.
Well, it hasn't actually changed. I've gone back into the registry, pressed F5 like you said, and the background colour is Reg SC0 255, which I think is what it said before. But it didn't say that it was red, it's just giving me the number value.
It says 02550, right? Before it said 00255 because it's red, green, blue, always goes in that order. So because you've changed the red, it should say red, the 255, it'll be in a different order. If you look back at what it said before, it will have changed.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Okay, now what we're going to do is instead of changing the background back to blue again by going into the background, we're going to now import the registry setting that you've saved. So click File and Import.
Yeah, I've already done it and found that file I couldn't find before. And yes, now it says SC00255. Yep. So
yep.
It has changed it back.
It asks you what the colour of the desktop is. Now, I don't know if Jaws will actually tell you that. It may do if you use the colour command, you know, insert number 05. But then it says, restart the computer. What is the colour of the desktop? And then it says, reset your display properties background to the original setting. And it says, see step 5 for that. And that's the end of the worksheet. So all you've done here is change the background of your desktop, seeing that it's reflected in the registry, exported that registry setting, changed the background again to a different colour, seeing that reflected in the registry, but instead of changing the background back to your first colour, which is blue, you've changed it by importing that registry setting instead. Do you see what you've done?
See what you've done?
Well, before I've restarted, pressing insert number 5 tells me that my desktop is still red, which is what you said before. And even after I've imported the blue settings and refreshed with F5 in the registry.
Okay, so restart your computer and you'll probably find the desktop and then change back to blue. Because the import probably doesn't take effect until you restart your computer. So do that and come back to me and see what colour that your desktop is then. It's probably going to change to blue, I would think.
Okay, now we're just waiting for the restart to happen.
Cool. So you see, John, what we're doing here? What the aim of the exercise is, anyway?
Yes. I'm afraid my worksheet this afternoon looks like a frog in a blender.
Oh, you can go and change it before you send it in. I'm sure Kylie won't hold it against you. She's too good for that.
Of course not. Goodness me. You know, it's been a big undertaking, this.
Come on, John, let's butter up the instructor.
Okay.
Okay, Terry, is your system all started up again and you've checked what colour your desktop is?
Yeah, it says White on blue.
Hey, yeah. So go and change it back to what it was originally, and you have done your worksheet. You are finished. You two can pat yourselves on the back. This was a biggie, you know, and this is why I wanted us to do it as a group, because I knew it was going to be difficult.